sounds very similar to last week's, right? It's a similar passage, but there are differences that I will feature. Let us first think about a sower and a seed. It was a real reality in rural Palestine, familiar to Jesus' original audience, composed mostly of peasant farmers. The sower is very exceptional and very attentive to sowing. So much of the seed goes to waste, unfortunately. And if the sower is seen as a good farmer and a tenant farmer, then he gains sympathy from those who know too well the amount of seed that is wasted and the very little that comes to harvest. There was a story, actually, about a little girl named Lucy, and she was in school. And her teacher gave her a seed, right, in a little cup, and it was clear cup, right? And she sent it home with her, and she told her to watch it grow, right? And the little girl takes the seed home, and her mom and dad greet her, and they say, well, the best way for it to grow and really thrive is to put it in the ground. And so they go outside, and they dig a little hole, and they stick the seedling in there, and they stick the little seed in there, and they fertilize it, and they water it, and the little girl is so excited to see this plant grow that she lays herself down. It almost makes me think of Kathy's little girl, Libby. Lays herself down right by it and just sits there and waits for the little plant to grow, right? And it gets dark outside. And finally, the parents have to come and drag her inside and tell her that you have to wait a little bit longer. And the little girl, of course, has a very anxious sleep because she wants to see the growth of her plant. And so first thing in the morning, you know, she runs out to the yard and she looks at the ground and nothing. And tears, you know, come out in abundance, and she's just devastated because her plant is not growing, and the teacher told her that if she did all this stuff, it would grow, right? And the parents have to tell her it takes time. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go on a road trip and someone else is driving and, you know, I think it's been long enough in the car, I can find myself saying, are we there yet? Have you ever heard anybody say that to you, right? I mean, you know, it's kind of a saying that little kids say, but I'm kind of a grown-up little kid and, you know, I want to be there already, right? Let me flip for a second to another part of this passage. How does your garden grow? I mean, that's the real question, right? I mean, how do we get the seed to become a seedling? Like, how does it grow? And if we think about Lucy, right? I mean, Lucy, she would probably forget about the seed for a long time, right? Because it takes about 3 or 4 months, actually, for a seed to truly sprout, where you really see something come up. And, of course, we know from the parable of the sower, right, that not every seed does that, right? So maybe her parents kind of helped her forget about the seed so that she wouldn't be sad, right, if it didn't ever sprout. But I want to ask you a question. How does your garden grow? The story this morning talks about how the seed is put into the ground. And actually, many seeds were put into the ground, if you read or saw what it said. And the one who is in charge of sowing it sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. And then there's this wonderful little phrase, he does not know how. Now, I used to live in a house where I had a dishwasher. Do you guys have a dishwasher? I'm very jealous if you have one. Now I don't. I live in a house that's kind of old school, right? And I have a big, like, porcelain drying, you know, area and a big sink with a big, you know, thing so that you can wash all your dishes in there and dry them out, right? And I kind of like the automaticness of a dishwasher. Like, you just put them in there, and you push this little button, you put some soap in, right, and you come back a little while, and it's done. Isn't that awesome, right? I mean, the automatic things. We think about how things automatically happen in our life, right? I mean, automatically we get bills. How does that happen, right? I don't like that. You may spend some money, and then all of a sudden you get this, like, statement in the mail. Where does that come from? It's automatic, right? We also have, of course, cell phones and technology and automobiles and all kinds of fancy things. And actually, have you ever driven a car that doesn't have automatic steering? Have you ever driven it? Holy moly, do you get exercise. You have to go, what? Like, you know, your whole effort, right? So I'm sure for those of you that were around when there was not automatic, you probably were so grateful when there was automatic steering, right? Because it's like, oh, now you can just go like this. And it's very easy to drive, right? We like automatic. And this passage says that the man goes to sleep, right? Or the whoever the sower is, could be a woman, goes to sleep and, you know, and wakes up and the seedling is there. And he does not know how. Now, you'd think in stewardship that I would preach a sermon where it says you have to do a lot of work, right, to get the seedling to sprout. Because, of course, right, it's stewardship, right? So I'm going to tell you, you owe us a lot of stuff, right? God wants you to give him stuff. Well, today's sermon is not about stuff. Not really, anyway. It's about time. God wants you to believe that the word that is preached and the word that is delivered and the seed of the word that is planted without any help from you will sprout. And let's think about what a sprout looks like, what a seedling looks like. Part of it is reaching up, right? Above the ground and almost praising God, right? Reaching up into the world and the air and reaching high. The other part of it, which I think we're going to hear a little bit more about next week, is that what's happening below is kind of exciting too, right? Because it's also reaching down into the ground. In the scripture, the soil is very clear to be said. It is the living soil of Jesus that a seedling has to be planted in to ever sprout the word of God. Now, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with me, right? But I asked you, how does your garden grow? The only way you can sprout is if the word of God dwells in you. And how that happens is when you give your time to God. When you study his word, when you come to church, when you know and love his people. And then you will find yourself, without realizing it, reaching both up and down. Because you will reach up to praise, and you will reach down to get nutrients and sustenance. I'm not a farmer. I told you last week I had a really great experience with gardening, and it kind of killed my desire to be a green thumb. So I'm going to let all of you that are farmers enjoy it. And actually, there are four passages in the Bible that are similar to this one that talk about gardening. And I'm sure those of you that are gardeners, you would love them. But I want to tell you something. It's all about what's in the seed. It's like the DNA of the seed. And we don't know, right? I mean, they all look the same. Like the mustard seeds that Mary had last week, they were all little teeny weeny yellow dots, right? And they all look the same. How do we know which ones are going to have the right stuff inside of them? Well, we know that God knows, and we spend all of our days praying and hoping that the seed will sprout in us. And similar to last week, it's kind of a one-on-one thing. It's kind of between you and God. I'm not going to be calling you up and saying, how much time did you give God this week? Debbie LaCrosse, I want to know how many hours, right? Okay. I'll be calling each of you about stewardship time, but not about your time with God, right? And I want you to pray about what time do you give to other things? When I first taught confirmation class, we had a little survey, and it said, okay, every day has 24 hours. So now every teenager had to put down there, are you ready for this, Michael and Joe? What they did with their time. I mean, you have 24 hours, right? Okay, so let's assume you need 8 hours of sleep, right? So that takes off 16, right? Okay, so you have 16 hours left. Thank you for the math, Dominique. And so you have 16 hours left in the day because you sleep for 8. That's a long time to sleep, by the way. I can't sleep 8 hours because I have too much to do. But anyway, most people at your age should be sleeping 8 hours, I'm hoping, okay? So then that means you have 16 hours left in the day to do stuff with. How much time do you spend on video games? How much time do you spend on homework? How much time do you spend on your iPad or iPhone or calling your friends, right? How much time do you spend eating? Because sometimes that's important, right? Dinner with the family? I don't know. And then maybe getting ready to go to sleep, like brushing your teeth or getting ready to go somewhere, right? So, okay, that kind of probably takes about another 10 hours. So that's 6 hours at least left, right? 6 hours left. Okay, well, what about talking to your mom and dad? Do you ever do that? Maybe a little bit? I don't know. Sometimes, if they ask you stuff, right? What about your grandparents? They live with you now, right? So do you ever talk to them? Yeah, sometimes? Okay. Well, and, you know, you come to church on Sundays, right? And you help us set up. I saw you guys working very hard today, right? Carrying everything in and setting up. So that takes up some time. So, you know, how much time do you spend talking to God? How much time do you spend studying God? Right? And I make every teenager in confirmation do this. And it's very surprising. Because when it comes down to it, they have 24 hours, right? That seems like a really big chunk of time. Well, I know from Peggy Miner and Elizabeth Hughes and Madeline Welch and all these other kids that if they're at band till 3 in the morning, right, if they need 8 hours of sleep, they're not coming to church usually. Courtney's here, thank God, right? But she's probably exhausted, you know. Hopefully Nicholas and Madeline and everybody else is home sleeping. But all the same, right, we have only 24 hours a day. And believe me, it will fill up if you let it be filled. But God is telling you that if you want to sprout, if you want to be a seedling in his kingdom, he needs a little bit, if not a lot, of your time. So think about that 24 hours and think about how you use it. This series is really exciting for me because I think that most people are impatient. The automatic stuff, the rushing, the hurrying, the are we there yet? But the scripture teaches us that some things are worth waiting for. And I would say that faith and time with God is worth it for now and forevermore. Amen.